my sermon today is part two of my previous sermon, Messiah Raises the Bar on the Torah. And I want to start with a question. Actually, probably a couple questions. Did the Messiah do away with the law of Yahweh, as many today profess? Or did he gloriously raise the standard of the law to the point that mankind on his own could not perfect obedience? For certainly, outside of our own unwillingness to obey the Ten Commandments, we could indeed obey his law. I don't think that he would have given it to us if he did not believe that we could do it. But men standing behind pulpits from the north to the south and from the east to the west have proclaimed that the law of Moses, along with Yahweh's chosen Israel, have been cast into the pit, never to be retrieved. They justify this claim by adding that it is impossible to fulfill the law. And that's why we need Jesus. He fulfilled the law for us, and now we are not under the law. And further, anyone who attempts to disclaim this teaching are themselves cast away, often branded as heretics. Well, if I have to be called a heretic, I indeed will accept that title. If that means that I refute the teaching that the law is dead. In Galatians 3, beginning at verse 21, we read, "Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, sin being the transgression of that law, that the promise by faith in Yahshua the Messiah might be given to those who believe." But, and this is the part that is most often left out, "but before faith came, we were kept under guard." Now those two words, kept under guard, literally mean we were protected and embraced. We were protected and embraced by the law for the faith, which would, when? Afterward, be revealed. After what? After we have been tutored by the law. Therefore, Paul continues in verse 24, "the law was our tutor to bring us to the Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." What does Paul proclaim here about the foundation of faith? Well, he says that the faith is founded upon the law of Yahweh. That's what faith is founded upon. That is, upon Yahweh's teachings and instructions. Are the lessons learned through the tutor now dead? Yahweh forbid. If our protection and our connection to the household of Yahweh is through the tutor, as Paul's words declare above, should we then afterwards reject the lessons learned from the tutor? Well, of course not. Paul is saying that the Torah, the prophets, and the writings of Yahweh were given in order to bring us to the Messiah. The Torah is that narrow path that leads to the Messiah, who will then lead us through that narrow path to the kingdom. However, what if we have not learned those lessons? It is through the law of Yahweh that we are justified by our faith. Faith, that is, upon that which is learned in the Torah. How is it possible to even see the Messiah? Remember, he is the Word of Yahweh. How is it possible to even see the Messiah if we have not been taught the foundational principles by which we are to know him? Consider this. How is it that the Pharisees and the scribes, those who were in the position to know the law, how is it that they did not recognize Yahshua as the Messiah of Israel? How could they not see him? Well, because they had essentially abandoned the law, the Torah, the Word. They abandoned the Word, which is the Messiah, the Word of Yahweh. Could it be any different for us today? Paul says no, for he wrote these words for us today so that we might understand and live. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, it reads, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Yahshua, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?'" Not the law of Yahweh, but the tradition of the elders. "For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of Yahweh because of your tradition? For Yahweh commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift now to Elohim.'" Then, Yahshua says, "He need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of Yahweh of no effect." No effect. How? By your tradition. Hypocrites, Yahshua calls them, which means actors. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips.' But listen to this. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." This is serious, folks. This was the condition of men in Isaiah's time. It was the condition of men in Yahshua's time. And it is the condition of men in this day and age. When will we ever learn? When will we ever learn? If we teach the doctrines of men, we are worshiping Yahweh in vain. That is, to our destruction. How else, other than the word destruction, would you summarize the word vain, which means useless, pointless, fruitless, ineffectual, and wasted? Worshiping Yahweh using doctrines designed by men is useless, pointless, fruitless, ineffectual, and wasted. Doing so will lead to ruination, vanity, and destruction. Now, why am I telling you all this, especially you who are seeking truth and are not familiar with our foundational beliefs? Why am I telling you something that could turn you away because the message hurts your ears? I know this is not easy to hear, but I'll be honest with you. Because I want you to be afraid and tremble at the power of Almighty Yahweh, so that you will not step one foot closer to that wide path that leads to destruction. I am crying out to you, danger, bridge out ahead for Yahweh. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish and have everlasting life. I am telling you this so that you will follow the Messiah, Yahshua. Up that narrow path in which you have to squeeze through to make it to the other side. This is the path least traveled. Back in Isaiah's time and Yahshua's time and this time, it's the path that's least traveled. This is the path where the remnant of Israel treads. If you were to sit down on the side of this path, you might have to wait a while before another traveler comes along. But I can tell you that when you meet up with this solitary individual on this path, you will have a lot to share. For each of you will have passed through the fire, so to speak, the fire of rejection, scorn, and alienation. There are only a few who are strong enough to endure the loss of family, friends, workmates, and even those we may have considered to be spiritual companions. Most people will seek the security found in numbers. It is only natural. We all want to survive. 1 million, 6 million, 20 million, 100 million people can't be wrong. Say a multitude of religious institutions. But let me ask you, could 144,000 be a literal number? How truly small that number is, even compared to the number of people who gather at one particular arena in Texas for Sunday morning services. No, you don't want to be on a wide path when Yahshua returns. You want to be on that narrow path. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, we read, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic," or base, that is, the corrupt, vile, and immoral principles of the world, "and not according to the Messiah. For in him dwells all the fullness of Yahweh's spiritual power, bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." And in Matthew 7, verse 13, we read, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Do you know what the word "few" means? It means hardly any, only some, a handful, and a small number. Are you relying on others for your salvation? Or are you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? In Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1, we read, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of the Messiah, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living Elohim, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through the Messiah toward Yahweh. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from Yahweh, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Wow. Ouch. The letter kills? Of course it does, if you willfully reject the letter. Obedience, on the other hand, brings what? Brings blessing. That's why provision is made for the Spirit of Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. He grants the Spirit so that we may abide in Him and do as He did. We cannot reject the letter of the tablets of stone, the law of Yahweh. That, frankly, is impossible. Just because we say that they are done away has no bearing whatsoever on their existence. They are eternal, and no amount of creative justification can destroy them. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 5, beginning at verse 18, we read, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." These are the words of Yahshua himself. That's why Yahweh made provision for obedience to His word. We look in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 33, we read, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh." Now, the phrase "after those days" is a Hebrew idiom for the latter days, even after Yahshua returns. "I will put my law," Jeremiah continues, and that word there in Hebrew is Torati, my Torah. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." Now, wait a minute. The letter kills, and you, Father, are going to put it in my mind and write it on my heart? What? Are you trying to give me a brain tumor and a heart attack? I don't think so. What do you mean? In Matthew 9 and verse 15, we read, "And Yahshua said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come," again another reference to him returning actually, "when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Actually, that occurred back then. "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse." And here is where he is speaking about the future. Verse 17, "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine," that is the fruit of the vine, "into new wineskins, and both are preserved." What is the symbolism here? Who are the new wineskins, and what is the new wine? I suggest for your consideration that the new wineskins are those righteous ones raised in the first resurrection. The new wine is the Spirit. For in the resurrection, we shall be given a new body and a new spirit in our minds and on our hearts. We shall know Yahweh and cannot sin, being a new creature in Yahweh. Matthew 24, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." What are Yahshua's words about the Torah, the teaching of his father? In Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21, we read, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.'" That's referring to commandment number 6. Verse 22, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And in Matthew 5:27, we read, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" That's commandment number 7. Verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Yahshua the Messiah does not do away with the law of Yahweh. Instead, he amplifies its meaning. The law, the teachings of Yahweh, are not just simple commands, which, by performing them, earns you entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh. No. Yahshua is telling us that by having his Father's instructions within us, sincerely and genuinely, we will not break them. And the new standard is not solely based on actions, but also on thoughts, feelings, and urges. The kingdom of Yahweh, Yahshua says, is within. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14, we read, "For the love of the Messiah compels or constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. And this is demonstrated by Yahshua by suffering our stripes and our death. But for him who died for them and rose again." Verse 16, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh," that is, according to the letter of the law. "Even though we have known the Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." That means that the letter of the law has been refreshed to its original design and purpose involving the Spirit. Verse 18, "Now all things are of Yahweh, who has reconciled us to himself through Yahshua the Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, sitting with him again." That's what reconciliation means. Verse 19, "That is, that Yahweh was in the Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them," in other words, forgiving them, "and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for the Messiah, as though Yahweh were pleading through us. We implore you on the Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to Yahweh. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in him." That we might become, that we might learn and grow. Paul is saying that we have been given the Spirit, and it is our job to amplify it, to understand that this is a genuine calling, a sincere calling. It's a calling of compassion, to have to have the same pain as we see others having. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, we read, "Then you shall return." And that word return is the Hebrew word shov, which means repent. And repent means turning back to Yahweh. When we read the word repent, especially in the Old Testament, it is basically saying, return back to Yahweh. Malachi 3:18, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves Elohim and one who does not serve him. And in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 30, we read about the story of Lazarus and the rich man, or a segment of that story. Verse 30, and he said, no, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear and obey Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And here Yahshua clearly tells us that without an understanding of the Torah, the law of Moses and the prophets, even his resurrection will not persuade one to repent, that is, to return to an obedience to Yahweh. Ezekiel 18, beginning at verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Almighty Yahweh. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity, so that your sin, will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves what? This is what we find in the Torah, the writings, and the prophet. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Almighty Yahweh. Therefore, turn back to me and live. Once again, Yahshua has not done away with his father's law. He has, in fact, raised the letter of the law of Yahweh to its rightful, compassionate, and spiritual place. He glorified Yahweh's Torah by taking the stripes for us and sacrificing his life, knowing that there would be a remnant of Israel who would honor his sacrifice by turning back to the Torah that his father gave to us. Yahshua has granted us Yahweh's Spirit so that we can righteously obey the law, and not just the letter, but the compassionate spirit of the Torah. And I say, may Yahweh's glory be increased in this world, and may we, through our love of Yahweh and his son Yahshua, be blessed and privileged to be part of carrying out his plan of salvation. Hallelujah.